They ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.
Welcome to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving.
I'm Dr. Louisa, and I'm here to talk about your pets, some problems you may have, and this week's bonus question.
Okay. I know you're just here for the bonus question, so here goes. In Washington, D.C., you can't take a picture of a man with a prosthetic leg. Why not? Well, you need a camera to take a picture. A prosthetic leg just won't do. So, stay tuned for this week's bonus question. As we have seen in the first two episodes, Babu's stealing things and biting the children in play are really normal behaviors for a dog. They are just inappropriate to us. And the family has learned how to redirect Babu to behaviors they like. A more serious problem that the owners have is that Babu will lunge and bark at other dogs when he is on leash. This is a bad thing for any dog to do, but for Babu, it has a more ominous aspect. Babu is a pit bull mix, and these bully breeds have an undeserved reputation as being dangerous. I could spend a whole episode on breed-specific legislation, but that will have to wait until later. It can be frightening for a person when walking their dog to have another dog pulling towards them on the leash, barking and growling at them like the hounds of hell. It is not a very neighborly thing to do, and a big, strong dog has the potential to cause injury to anyone on the other end of the leash. Not only tripping and falling, but rope burns and bursitis are all common injuries when walking an unruly dog. Can we do something about this? Do all dogs bark and lunge at other dogs? Is this a normal behavior? Well, the answers are yes, no, and maybe. Yes, we can do something about this, and I'll spend the bulk of this episode talking about what we can do. But no, not all dogs bark and lunge at other dogs. And it could be a normal behavior if the dog lunges at other dogs on leash, but their tails are wagging, and if they're barking, it is a happy yip. So it may be a normal behavior of a dog wanting to play. But the most intense displays of lunging and barking can have an underlying emotional component. These dogs have adrenaline running through their system. These dogs are really frightened and not just throwing their weight around. It is the fear that we need to replace with joy. When a dog lunges on leash, it may just be that they have not learned to walk nicely on a leash. They pull because they can. And a big dog may pull on the leash so hard that they cause an injury to the one holding the leash. We will talk about walking nicely on leash in another episode. But what I want to talk about now is the dog that pulls and growls and looks like it could do some serious damage if they come in contact with the other dog. A side note here. Behaviorists, that is, good behaviorists, don't talk about aggressive dogs. No dog is aggressive all the time, and it is an unfair label to put on a dog. It is better to talk about aggressive behavior. Even the nicest dog can show aggression at times. My dog Paxel, who was my antidepressant, was a true sweetheart. I would take her to nursing homes to visit with the residents. She loved playing with other dogs and would change her play style to match the other dog. She would lie down to play with the puppies, and when she played with a 200-pound Newfoundland, she looked like a mosquito buzzing around the giant. She would bark when someone came to the door, but it was a happy bark with a wagging tail. However, when she had a litter of pups, her demeanor changed. She guarded those pups from anyone but me, and once I saw her nip at someone's hand as they withdrew it from the whelping box. She didn't make contact, and I don't think the person was even aware of the air bite, but I knew that if anyone tried to mess with her pups, she would respond with aggression. Another dog I had did show aggression to other dogs, but with us, she was a sweetheart. We could trim her nails, shave her belly, and manipulate her in all sorts of ways. She was not an aggressive dog. She just showed aggressive behavior in predictable circumstances. When working with behavior modification with reactive dogs, we talk a lot about thresholds. Thresholds are a point of no return. A dog can seem fine one moment and then start growling and barking and acting aggressively the next. It's almost as if there were a switch that was turned on. Unfortunately, once they are over threshold, there is no off switch. And behaviorists talk about triggers. Triggers are anything that causes an animal to become excited. The leash can be a trigger that signals you are going for a walk. Car keys can be a trigger that signals you are going for a ride, and that could be a good thing. Car keys can also be a trigger that you are leaving, which can be a bad thing. Some common triggers include men, children, hoods, hats, people carrying things, shopping bags, boxes, umbrellas, people leaning over your dog, people reaching for your dog, motorcycles, and skateboards. Smells can even be a trigger. The smell of alcohol can trigger a reaction in dogs that have lived with an unpredictable alcoholic. One dog would become fearful when he smelled pizza. It turned out that he was kicked by a pizza delivery person. The list of triggers is only limited by your own dog's anxieties. A trigger can cause excitement, but does not necessarily mean that the dog will go over a threshold. It is in this excitement stage that there is a possibility to intervene. But once a dog is triggered and past the threshold, the emotional brain has kicked in and the cognitive brain is shoved aside. You just can't think straight when you are in the middle of a red-hot argument. You can't think straight when the axe murderer is banging on your door. Some triggers only cause a state of alertness or arousal, but do not cause the dog to go over threshold. However, there is a situation called trigger stacking. This means that if there are several things that are sub-threshold, if put together, they can cause a dog to go over threshold and react. Your dog may be fine when he encounters one trigger, and even a second trigger, but by the third or fourth trigger, your dog barks, growls, lunges, and so forth. My friend and colleague, Susie Moore, has an analogy that I like. If you have a cup of water, how many candles would it take to make it boil over? If you know that, then you can take candles away so that it won't boil over. Think of it this way. You've had a bad day at work. Nothing horrible, but you lost some files that you really needed. You had to stay late to take an important call. Then, on the way home, there's a traffic backup. You try to take an alternate route, but that is even worse. Finally, arriving home, you scrape the car door getting out. Coming into the house, you trip on a toy and fall. Your dog greets you, happily licking your face, but you are now over threshold and yell at him and push him away. That's not something you would normally do, but with all of the previous mishaps that have gone before, your reaction kicks in and you respond with anger. If you don't, then I bow to you, Saint Listener. Just like us, dogs can have these triggers stack up over a few hours and result in more reactive behavior. So, if your dog reacts to umbrellas, children, and motorcycles, don't go to a schoolyard on a rainy day. Then, if a motorcycle does roar by, there is less of a chance your dog will go over threshold. Practice your behavior exercises on a sunny day on a quiet street. So, how can we use this knowledge when we are out with Babu? Remember, the problem that the owners have is that Babu will lunge and bark at other dogs when he is on leash. We want to decrease that lunging behavior. The best way to do that is to reward him for a response that is incompatible with lunging. Babu is essentially frightened by the other dog. Fear means that adrenaline is in his system. This elicits the fight or flight response. Since Babu is on leash and has nowhere to go, the only other option is to fight. He is clicker savvy, so we can use that to our advantage. As we learned in episode 3, the click means that good things are coming. And when a creature is conditioned to the click and the sound releases lovely neurochemicals into our brains, then we get good feelings and food. There are a few things to keep in mind before we start. This exercise, in the beginning, should not be left to the 8-year-old boy. Not only is timing important here, but Babu needs to always be kept below threshold. The situation needs to be tightly controlled to begin with. This is an on-leash exercise. It can be difficult for a boy if the dog is not already trained to love the leash. And an 8-year-old cannot drive a car, which becomes important with this exercise, as you will see. And too often, when a dog lunges on leash, our first impulse is to yank back and tell them no. Both of those things are considered positive punishment. And even if we can't read a dog's mind, I'm pretty certain that they might think, every time a dog comes by, I get jerked and yelled at. Dogs are bad news. So, let's change the emotional response to dogs that come into view. The secret is to set up situations that you can control. You want a place where dogs are present, but only in predictable ways. The best way might be to get a friend with a calm dog and someone who can follow directions. We want them to bring the dog into sight when you ask and then immediately take them back. When the dog comes into sight, you click and treat as long as the dog is in view. When the dog goes away, the treat stops. Again, the dog is there and the click and treat start. The dog goes away, no treats. You will know that the dog understands when a dog appears and your dog looks at you as if to ask, "Where's my treat?" Looking at you is a behavior that is incompatible with lunging. So, here are some guidelines. Use your most high-value food during these exercises. This would be chicken, hot dogs, cheese, or anything your dog doesn't normally get. Food can be a good motivator to get behavior, but in this circumstance, we are using it as a monitor of his emotions. Eating and anxiety are incompatible, so if the dog does not take the treat, we know that he is experiencing anxiety and close to going over threshold. We also need to modify the intensity of the trigger. Your dog may be able to handle the sight of a vacuum cleaner, but goes crazy when you turn it on. A child standing quietly is less intense than jumping and screaming children. Begin with the trigger at a low enough intensity that your dog stays under threshold. This can be done easily with distance. Scary things are less scary the further away they are. Determine the distance at which your dog alerts to the trigger but doesn't go crazy. Always begin far enough away and only move closer when your dog is staring at you and not looking at the trigger. The most important thing to realize here is that you never want your dog to react to the other dog. This is why it is important to have the help of someone who can follow directions. Too often, people will unwittingly assume that Babu is doing okay, and so then they can come closer or linger longer. Nope. We don't want to risk Babu becoming reactive. That will set the whole process back. Ironically, the slower you go with these exercises, the faster the progress will be. We are desensitizing Babu to other dogs and never want him to react. And desensitization, when done properly, is as exciting as watching paint dry. And just like with drying paint, if you test it and it's not done, you have to go over and start again. If you don't have a reliable friend to help, you can choose a place where there are dogs that come and go. Don't go to a general park where dogs wander by. You want someplace more predictable. I suggest the parking lot of a pet store. These dogs are being led to a destination. The owners are not as likely to come up to you and ask, "Is your dog friendly?" This well-meaning person can set your progress back. If you park at the far end of the parking lot, you can control the distance to the door of the store and avoid casual visitors. always begin far enough away and only move closer when your dog is staring at you and not looking at the trigger. Start clicking and treating your dog when the trigger is off in the distance, but your dog notices it. This is the sweet spot. The dog alerts to the trigger, but hasn't begun to experience a full fear reaction. If you click and your dog does not turn his head back towards you for the treat, move further away from the other dog. If your dog sees the other dog and turns to you before you click, well, that's party time. Your dog understands that the appearance of the dog predicts that you will start doling out the treats. And as your dog becomes more relaxed and focused on you, you can move closer to the scary thing. Okay, so a couple of rules here. Rule number one, make sure that the scary thing appears before the reward. We want the scary thing to predict that the good things are to come. If you click before the trigger appears, the click can come to mean that scary things happen rather than treats happen. It is possible to sensitize the dog to the click. Behaviorists call this poisoning the cue. You then lose the click as a marker for behavior you want. Rule number two, make sure the scary thing appears way before threshold. It is tempting to test the dog if he is doing well and bring him closer before he is ready. Don't do this. We are desensitizing him to this scary thing, and it is super easy to sensitize when we don't want it. Remember, desensitization is as exciting as watching paint dry, and if you're tempted to test it and touch it and it's not dry, you have to go back and repaint. The same thing goes for desensitization. One bad experience in the process will set you back. And ironically, the slower you go, the faster the progress. Clicking and treating your dog for looking at the scary thing may seem like the opposite of what we want, but don't be fooled. What we are really teaching the dog is that the trigger isn't scary, and your dog can just look at you instead of reacting to the trigger. And the dog is learning that the scary thing predicts good things. So, review. The pattern is, dog notices thing below any reaction. The split second they notice the scary thing, click before they react. The dog should whip his head around towards you for the treat. Continue to click and treat the dog for looking at the scary thing, person, or dog. When the dog turns to you when he sees the scary thing, you know he gets it and is relaxed enough to eat. Things to remember. These are important things. If you click and your dog does not turn his head back toward you for the treat, it means that the scary thing outweighs the potential treat. You are too close. Move further away from the scary thing. Once your dog is relaxed and focused on you, you can move closer to the scary thing. And do not ask the dog to sit. If we allow the dog to sit on his or her own, that's a way for the dog to communicate to us that they are relaxed enough around the fear trigger to sit. This will take a number of repetitions for both you and your dog. Keep the session short, and it will be fun for both of you. There's more to talk about when we discuss aggressive behavior. In the meantime, here is this episode's bonus question. In the United States, what is the main reason for divorce? If you think you know the answer, email it to info@radiotacoma.org with bonus question in the subject line.
Join us again for more sagas from the world of pet behavior problems. This is Dr. Louisa reminding you.
They ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
I don't stay out late. Don't care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.